PJ, come on up here. You have a mic, I think it's on.
Couple of questions for you as well. We'll give you the same ones as the other two. First of all, tell us, where are you from?
Okay, originally I'm from Enniscorthy in County Wexford. So for those footballers among us, I'm known as a yellow belly.
That's from which county?
County Wexford.
County Wexford. So yeah. Do you know, I always think the Irish, the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we have people who are gifted to be preachers or evangelists, and you're very gifted evangelist, but I always think one that was left out is the gift of the gab. And the Irish are often blessed with the gift of the gab, and you really tell it really well. Tell us a couple of things. What do you prefer, tea or coffee?
Tea in the morning, to start out with, and then about 10 o'clock, I'll have a coffee.
You see what I mean? It wasn't one word.
Yeah.
Beach or mountain?
Depending on where I am.
Blonde or brunette?
Oh, blonde. Oh, that's a one-word answer. Come on.
This is Elizabeth. It's not up, Elizabeth.
Yeah, come on.
You can see that lovely blonde. And tell us, what is your passion?
My passion. Well, I'm passionate about Elizabeth, my family. Probably the passion that has driven me for 24 years, and people say you shouldn't be driven. I think you should. I think you should be driven by passion, along with taking holidays and time out and not driving other people, but I think there should be something within your heart. My passion is to see Ireland restored to a land of saints and scholars where 6.4 million people will hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. That's my passion.
Great. Amen. Well, let's hear you. That's over to you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you indeed. It's a great privilege to be here again. And just before I begin, I'm going to be reading some stuff from the Bible. And sometimes we give the Bible a hard time. And we can, again, and I've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating. We can either approach this book in one of two ways. We can approach it as the book of the law. And sometimes, if we don't understand who wrote it, we think law is a negative thing. We can put it as something to pound with. But I'm reminded again, I was at a household this morning, and we're talking about Elizabeth. She was a telephonist in Mullingar. That's in the old days, without mobile phones, when you plugged in to make a phone call, and you rang an operator, and this operator put you through to someone else. So, as my son says, that's in the olden days, Dad. But it actually happened. So Elizabeth was in Mullingar. I was in Enniscorthy. And I used to either catch a train, the bus, or use the big thumb. It's called hitching or thumbing a lift for again, a whole different generation. But in between, what we would do is we would write each other a letter. I would send a letter to Elizabeth. She would open it. She would respond and send one to me. And sometimes two, three during the week. And we called those letters love letters. This is a love letter. This is from the lover of our souls. This is from the one who is on our side, who is for us, who's got a plan and a purpose. And usually when now, at 24 years later, when I read something and it says, don't, I say, okay, Lord. Because I know if I do, it's going to cause pain, some form of hardship, there's going to be a cost. And when I obey what it says, it's good for me, good for my soul, good for my family, good for my heart. So as I read from God's word, we're not reading just from the law, we're reading from love, grace, mercy, acceptance, the goodness of God. And law is good when you read it from that perspective. But just don't start at the law thinking it's a negative thing. So I'm going to read from the book of Colossians, and what we're going to be looking at tonight is authentic spirituality. Colossians 1:3-6 says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So there are three words here that are Paul's shorthand for authentic Christianity, authentic spirituality: faith, hope, and love. It is said that these three qualities are the hallmarks of a genuine Christian. When we look at faith, in a sense, everybody has it. I mean, earlier on, I came and I sat down on the couch. I just did that. I didn't check underneath. I didn't see were the springs in the frame okay. I used faith. I had faith that that chair could actually hold my weight. So everybody has faith, and we can all understand it from that perspective. People even have faith in God. People say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe there is a God. But Scripture says, even the devil believes in God and believes there is a God. When we speak to people about God, especially in our modern age, it can be quite cool, quite nice to talk about God. But the focus of our faith is not just on God, it's not just on the things of the world, but our focus of our faith is in a person whose name is Jesus. See, down south, and probably here as well, people would have said, PJ, you've got great faith. You're a man of faith. As if somehow this faith were a nebulous cloud somewhere that belonged to something. And the more I prayed, the more faith in this thing I got. No, I don't have great faith. I've got a great God. And my faith is in the one person, Jesus Christ. So in a sense, our faith is worth nothing if it's not in Jesus. And we've got to be really careful with our language when we use that. Like my prayer tonight coming here for Jonathan and Vicky, the music, for myself to speak, is not that you would walk out of here and say, wasn't that a lovely night? It wasn't that beautiful singing and the lovely music? It wasn't that a great talk? But my passion is that you walk out of here saying, Jesus is good. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is beautiful beyond all compare. That's what our desire is. That's what my passion is. John 14:6 says, he was questioned about, what's the greatest commandment? What's going on? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So somehow, there's a bridge and a gap between us and God. A massive chasm, just like here, there's a gap. And my good works, my prayers, even my reading of the Scriptures can't fill that gap in. There's only one way to fill that gap in, and it's through a person, and his name is Jesus. He said, I am. I'm the way towards the gap. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Everything is in him. The story of the gospel, the story of the Bible, is all about one person called Jesus. Everything in history, from the Old Testament, looks forward to the Old Testament, to the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ. Everything since looks back to the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ. He's the center of humanity, the center of history, the center of authentic spirituality, the center of all theology. Everything is about Jesus. God with flesh on. Who came to fill the gap, the void, with his own arms, his own life, his own breath, his own blood. And I want to do something with you. I want you to do a little bit of exercise with me. I want us all, I've done this three nights just by giving you words. I want to give you the actions. Because I think I want you to leave with something. What is the gospel? This is the gospel. He left his place to come to my place. To take my place, to bring me back to his place. That's the gospel. Now, I love all the other stuff around that, but that is the gospel. So come on, will you do it with me? Come on, do it, because I want you to memorize this. I want you to get it. Come on, do it. He left his place to come to my place, to take my place, to bring me back to his place. You got the gospel. You didn't have to go to college for 5 years. Degree, master's, PhD. You got the gospel. It's about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. Jesus went on in verse 7 and says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. Jesus God with flesh on. The next mark of authentic spirituality is hope. See, we believe in healing, we believe in the fullness of grace and peace, mercy. A life filled with the favor of God, with the touch of God, with the mark of God upon our lives. But let me give you a shocker. This ain't heaven. This place is not heaven. Colossians 1:5 says, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up in you in heaven that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. Paul speaks about it in the book of Romans. He said, Romans 8:24, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The mark of an authentic Christian is that we have hope for the future. All the benefits of the gospel are not enjoyed on this earth. They're not all enjoyed here. Our faith and even love are stored up and to spring forth from nothing of heaven. And I'm sometimes concerned with people thinking that it's all about here. People say, you know, heaven touched down to earth and this can be little heaven. No, it cannot be. This will never be heaven, guys. There are times in the middle of a worship service when I think heaven has brushed my brow. I think heaven has kissed my cheek at times. But this ain't heaven. And one day, our hope is that when we leave this place, that we will be with Jesus in heaven forever. Where there'll be no more pain, no more crying. So you're here tonight, and you're saying, you're looking around and saying, but is it going to make my life much better now? Yes, it is, and there's more. He's a God of more. I'm very aware. I was very aware this morning. I was always very fit all my life. I was a boxer. I was into karate, kickboxing, all contact, so very, very fit. But this morning when I got out of the bed, I felt all my joints. Gravity is beginning to find its way with me, right? Everything has gone south. In my head, I'm not old. But when I move, I know I am. And we're gradually, our body is getting ready for glory. Our body is getting ready to be with the Master, the beautiful one. So we have hope for the future. We have written guarantee for the future. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. I like being Irish. There's more though. I belong to a new kingdom. Some people say, I'm Northern Ireland. I'm Irish or I'm Scottish or Welsh or whatever. We're more. When you become a Christian, you become one member of a new kingdom. The kingdom of God. So be residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. I remember hearing a story that a man once advised his son that if he wanted to live a long life, the secret was to sprinkle a little gunpowder on his cornflakes every morning. The son did this regularly and he lived to the age of 99 years of age. When he died, he left 14 children, 28 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the wall of the crematorium. So be careful what you hear, right? And the third mark of an authentic spirituality is love. Love. Colossians 1:4 says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. It's interesting that Paul here places his emphasis on our love, not on Jesus herself, but for love for all the saints. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All, A-L-L, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So the evidence of divine love is not so much in seeing in loving God, but in loving each other. And we can all see here tonight, we can say, I love God, I worship God, but I can't get on with my neighbor. The true mark of spirituality, of an authentic relationship with Jesus, is that we love one another. I don't know about you, I find that hard at times. I've struggled with that at times. See, I can love God in my head and my heart, but sometimes it's hard to love my neighbor. Sometimes I struggle with that. But that is the mark. That is the mark. That's the challenge to our hearts. That's where we need the help of the Spirit of God and of His Word. That's where we need to walk in that term that I talk every day. I'm walking this way and doing my own life. I read something in God's Word. I'm convicted by the Spirit. I turn around 180 degrees. And the wonderful word we have for that is called repentance. To live a repentant life every day, every moment. And sometimes we don't use those terms in church because it might put someone off. You got to live a repentant life. It's not all about me, Jack. It's about Him. It's about our neighbor. It's about our nation. It's about our world. It's always centered on the other one, not on ourselves. 1 John 4:7 again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God. He does not know God. So do not allow your mind to be tricked. Do not allow your mind to be fooled. Do not allow the enemy to win the day. You're here tonight and you're wondering, what is this guy about? But 25 years ago, my marriage was pretty much wrecked in bits. And the source of that pain and wrecking was me. My dad left when I was about a year and a half old. And here I was, repeating history. Just kept repeating history. Didn't have the ability to do anything else. I was walking this direction. And I wanted to walk that direction, but I had not got the ability. I even heard people tell me that that's the way you should be walking, Peter. That's what you should be doing. But I was being dragged. I was being pulled. Hated my dad. Hated myself. Hated the world. Hated everything. And I had this pull. The book of Romans talks about I was a slave to sin. There was like a chain on me, pulling me, pulling me. And I've not got the ability to change. I was living my own life. I was doing my own thing. I was keeping, I was a law keeper, not a law breaker. Paying my taxes, looking after my neighbor, all the stuff. But I was trapped. A man introduced me to the beautiful one, to Jesus. And I had a decision to make. I could either keep walking this way and keep walking that life and trying and causing pain and hardship to myself, to Elizabeth, to my family, to everyone around me, or I could just give my life to Jesus. And in the giving is part of surrender. In the giving is part of going this way, part of repentance, part of changing how I thought that I couldn't make it on my own, that I need God in my life. I needed Jesus to be my Savior. I needed Jesus to change my heart. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about hardness of heart, a heart of flesh. And really what he did was he removed a stone and gave me a new heart of flesh. Here's the great thing about becoming a Christian. Sometimes we think it's about changing, you know, I was walking this way, I turned around and walked this way. But had I got out of the bed the next morning on my own strength, I would have gone back again. But when Jesus turned my life around, he filled me with his Spirit. He began to get his word into me. He began to get his promise and his love and his mercy into me and gave me the strength to walk the right way, to walk a repentant life. And I want to finish with a story. And I question whether I would share it or not, but I believe I've got to share it. It's a story that happened in Northern Ireland. On a Sunday morning, November the 8th, 1987, Irishman Gordon Wilson took his daughter Marie to a parade in the town of Enniskillen. As Wilson and his 20-year-old daughter waited, they said it were cool. Waiting for soldiers and police to come marching by, a bomb planted by the IRA blew up, exploded, and the wall fell on top of them. The blast instantly killed half a dozen people and pinned Gordon and his daughter beneath several feet of brick. Gordon's shoulder and arm were injured. Unable to move, Gordon felt someone take hold of his hand. It was his daughter, Marie. "Is that you, Dad?" she asked. "Yes, Marie," Gordon answered. He heard several people begin screaming. "Are you all right?" Gordon asked his daughter. "Yes," she said. But then she too began to scream. As he felt her hand again and again, he asked if she was all right. And each time she said yes. Finally, Marie said, "Daddy, I love you very much." Those were the last words, because 4 hours later, she died in a hospital of severe spinal and brain injury. Later that evening, a BBC reporter requested permission to interview Gordon Wilson. After Wilson described what happened, the reporter asked, "How do you feel about those guys who planted the bomb?" "I bear them no ill will," Wilson replied. "I bear them no grudge. Bitter talk is not going to bring Marie Wilson back. I shall pray tonight and every night that God will forgive them." In the months that followed, many people asked Wilson, who later became a senator in the Republic, how he could say such a thing, how he could forgive such a monstrous act. Wilson explained, "I was hurt. I just lost my daughter. But I wasn't angry. Marie's last words to me, words of love, have put me in the plane of love. I received God's grace through the strength of his love for me to forgive." For years after this tragedy, Gordon Wilson continued to work for peace in Northern Ireland. Love can do miracles, just as Marie's Wilson's last words to her father lifted him onto a plane of love, so God's love for us lifts us onto a whole different plane, enabling us to love others no matter how they have treated us. And tonight, in this gathering, there are people who have been hurt by each other. You've been hurt by our own actions. You've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by the clergy. Sometimes you think you've been hurt by God. But when we meet Jesus at that place of love, he brings healing. He brings restoration. He levels the ground. And as someone from the South, can I say, first of all, I want to apologize sometimes for our attitude in the south towards people in the north. Our turning of our back as we were. Didn't quite understand sometimes the amount of pain, the amount of hurt, the amount of stuff that goes on. But we can't heal each other. The only one person who can heal is Jesus. And tonight I want to say something else. Sometimes people say, time will heal. Time will not heal. Time will just put a scab on that sore. Another layer and another layer. The only healing comes from a person. His name is Jesus. And he's here tonight. And he wants to have a relationship with us tonight. And he wants to cut through some stuff. I'm probably the least religious person. I'm so irreligious at times. I don't do religion. I've never done religion. I was always bad at it as a kid. I'm still bad at it. I don't do it. But I do relationship. I love Jesus. He loves me. And he loves you. And he wants to heal and restore. He wants to mend our hearts and put it back together again. That's what he wants to do. And let me finish by reading 1 Corinthians in the Message. It says, if I speak with human elegance and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I owe to the poor and even go to the stakes to be burned as a martyr, but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares for others more than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Folks, love, the love of God, the love that flows through Jesus, never fails. So if you're here tonight, perhaps Jonathan and Vicky will come back. And you say, PJ, I've heard some of this before. I've been put off by some of this before. Why don't you start again? Make a fresh start. There's many people that say, you know, I was brought up, went to Sunday school, went to church, made a commitment, but life just has turned me off. I believe God wants you to come back again. Make a fresh start. There are many days when I mess up. I mess up with God. And I get up in the morning and say, Jesus, forgive me. Help me start again. He's the God of new beginnings. Every day, his grace is new. Every day, his love is sufficient. Every day is a new start. And you're hearing and say, yeah, but I'm tired. He knows you're tired. He will give you strength. He will give you rest. He will give you energy. He'll give you that ability to break through. And you might be hearing and say, but I don't want to be like Jimmy next door. I don't want to be like her. First of all, try and be like Jesus. Don't look to me, to us as Christians, and use us as a standard. We have failed you. I have failed you. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And again I say it for the third time, who's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's here tonight. And he wants that intimacy with you. He wants that relationship with you. He wants you to know his love and his forgiveness. He wants you to know that. And he's here and he's available. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to him. Not, you're not responding to me. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes so you know for sure you're not responding to me. Is that okay? So this is not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about anything like that. It's about you and Jesus. And he's here. And if you want to close your eyes, and what I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask you in a moment, do you want Jesus to be the solution for your life? Do you want to walk out of here living faith, hope, and love? And I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and catch his hand. Just catch his hand. That's the purpose of raising your hand. It's not for me. It's for him. And you just, where you're sitting, just raise up your hand. And you don't even have to do that high so that everyone can see you, right? Just very privately, just between you and Jesus. You can just do it even low. But I'm going to count to three. You say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, I want you to be the solution for my life. Right here, right now. So one, two, three. Just where you are, just raise up your hand. Just raise up your hand. Thank you. Come on, don't be shy. Don't be shy. He's here. The Master is here. He's in the building. He sees your heart. He wants to catch your hand. Okay, just put down your hand now. So if you want to pray with me, Lord Jesus, I need you to be the solution for my life. I want you to fill my heart with your love. I believe you died on the cross for me. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord an applause. Come on. Yeah. And as we finish and bring this to conclusion, there is a ministry team, a prayer team. If you want to come right now, and this is what I'd like to do. If you're here tonight and you say, yes, I committed my life to Jesus, myself and Elizabeth and the other, we would love to talk with you and pray with you. But if you're also here tonight, do you know something? You say, I want to just start again. I want that fresh touch of God again. We would love the privilege of standing and praying with you. And if you're here tonight and you say, do you know there's times that I have been hurt, and perhaps there's times I have been the one who hurt, we'd love to stand with you and just pray. But if you have a need, there's a team that have been being prepared. There's a team for the last number of years that have been praying for you. And they will pray with you. They will stand with you. They will chat with you. And so what? Give you the opportunity. Don't just walk out the door. Don't just go. But come and allow God to do something deep in the depths of your heart, the depths of your soul. Sometimes you go and you stand with someone to pray just to be encouraged, just to get through that next day, that next stage. Amen? So perhaps we'll just stand. Everyone will stand with us. Ministry team, if you want to make your way down right now, and Elizabeth as well, and Ben, if you want to come out here. And if you want to come down with somebody, perhaps, who brought you, you want to come just on your own, please feel free and allow these people and myself as well the privilege to pray with you. God bless you. Have a great night. We'll see you at Harvest tomorrow.